This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
And it's Escape Pod. You're on Joy 94.9. Thanks for joining us. Well, hello, Joe.
Oh, Mark, it's summer in the city.
Yeah, it's a great time to buy landfill. As we were talking before, you and I were going around watching all the people putting all those colours and chemicals into bags to take home to then put into the earth.
I'm going to need another therapy session now before Christmas Day because I've just seen what people are buying for seven-year-olds.
Yeah.
Those dolls were, they looked like hookers.
Hmm.
They were,
cheap hookers.
They? Yes. Mm. Yeah, very, very affordable.
Very leggy lasses.
Yes.
Mm. So I'll be going to buy one of them for my niece after the show.
I feel very virtuous that I've bought handmade gifts from Chile.
I think it's a great idea. It really was quite an eye-opener because it's been a long time since I've been into a toy department and seen what people are buying, and it's all flammable and frightening
it
and
is.
Everything had teeth.
The escape pod we travel, where no one else fears to go.
Yeah, I feel like an old fogey waving my hand in an old style way. Joe, how has your travel week been? What's new with you?
New with me? I've had a big week.
You've had a very big week. Tell us all about
this week. Bit of press coverage.
Let's talk about that
quickly. Yeah, well, we don't normally like to talk about me, but a little issue with self-funding some medication. So stay tuned. If all goes well, we'll have a concerted plan for 2015.
And if you want to know more about that, that was in the Herald Sun this week, and we've posted the link on the Escape Pod Facebook page. So
yes,
if you do want to have a look and read the article, it's very interesting. And
look for the photo with the Chow Chow.
With the Chow Chow, the beautiful Chow Chow that got a lot of feedback.
She always does.
She always does. And travel-wise, there's, you know, the biggest stories this time of the year for travel is how people are getting home and who's
and how
getting,
everyone gets stranded.
How everyone gets stranded and how everyone gets snowed in the United States.
Yep, and how our systems seem to not cope. You know, this is not the first time Virgin have let people down at this time of year.
So what's the latest story with Virgin letting people down at this time of the year?
Well, I think the system crashed.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. So finally everyone's getting back on board, so to speak. And Qantas have had a couple of turnarounds again this week. But, you know, it's just a case of everyone trying to use their frequent flyer points and get to where they need to.
Mm, of course. Yeah. So
where did you go this week?
Nowhere. Just public transport like normal. I know that I was on earlier today talking to Macca and Pete Dillon on SatMag. And we were talking about cars at one stage on and off air because Macca works with a very big German company called Mercedes-Benz.
Most and you drive a very big German car.
Well, it's a small German car, but it's from a German company. And I've forgotten where we're going with this. Where were we going with this?
Oh, look, something I think about we lost the map.
Yeah, something. I don't know. We're talking about cars anyway. And I'm actually more of a public transport person. So when people start getting competitive about their cars, I just kind of glaze over and go, I'm mostly on a tram.
Yes, but it is the season to share. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of focus on being kind to strangers this week.
Yeah, it's been a challenging week for a lot of different people.
It's been a tough week. Mm. And I can only say that if you are about to, you know, jump in a taxi or an Uber, just, you know, if there's someone around who's going in the same direction, give them a lift.
Mm.
You only have to be nice for a few days.
Help
you
a brother out.
Do it.
Mm. Good story going into Christmas. Good words. Good,
yes.
Good sentiment. But we've got some guests here chafing at the bit, ready to tell us a story.
I love it when the studio is full.
Mm. We do have a full house.
Very professional.
It certainly does. We have some guests who have come in who have recently been to one of the most fascinating countries on the planet, Japan.
Yes, we've got Josie, Helen, and Bill.
Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you so much. It's graphic design. Absolutely fantastic, world-breaking, you know, approach to design. So we all went there for a couple of weeks. Would have been, I think, back in 1980-something. Anyway, it was fairly early on. So that was our introduction to Japan. We were just knocked out by its approach to visual design.
What specifically were the visual design stuck out in the 80s? What was the key elements or the key themes?
It was just a really modern approach to colour, basically, mm-hmm. and What would you say?
Packaging, presentation.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just beautiful.
And it still leads the world in that sort of thing, even as basic as going down to the food halls in the department stores. And you want to buy everything, and it's all
so wayfinding, merchandising.
Yeah, that's right.
The whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
So are you happy now that the Japanese retailers are coming to town?
We were quite happy. The first one was
Daimaru.
That was a while ago.
We were rarely out of Daimaru because we had two boys very young at that stage. And do you remember the huge clock in the...
Yeah.
It's still there.
Oh, it is still there.
The one in Melbourne Central.
Yeah, it's still there. Yeah.
We seemed to be there every hour when it was performing so the kids could watch it. But anyway, yes, and then most recently Uniqlo, of course.
Yes. Actually, Uniqlo, just a little bit off topic, I had an opportunity to get a two-hour snooze in this week. I went to that Mockingjay film. I was dragged along by someone who's a real film person.
Really? And they
but
went to that?
He has a thing for Jennifer Lawrence.
So oh, he's a heterosexual male.
We suffered through this. And I remember as I was just dozing off to the soundtrack, oh, Uniqlo have done all the costumes. You know, it's ubiquitous.
I see what you mean. Yes, yeah, that beige, that taupe and olive and ecru kind of palette they use there, which is great. I mean, it's a fantastic shop. I mean, we're not here to sell. Actually, we're here to talk to you about how you went around Japan and what was the methodology you used, because this is really the unorthodox part.
Yes, other than the
other than Japanese
effort.
Merchandising.
Yeah, that's right. You decided to use pedal power.
For a certain part of it, the basic, we started off with getting the Japan Rail Pass.
Highly recommended.
Which is such fantastic value for money because it affords you travel within Tokyo on a number of the metropolitan rail lines and then on the Shinkansen throughout the country, and it's just so fantastic.
What is it that makes it fantastic? Is it because it's easy to use, easy to understand?
So easy to use.
Transferable.
So I think we paid, what was it about?
It was about, it was just over 600 and we
dollars.
Travelled, dollars. And we travelled all over Japan and in the local area in Tokyo, plus the transport from the airport to the city as well, for nothing.
And I'm included?
Yeah.
The 600,
the That's right. Yeah. So I would just sort of day total up. You know, what we'd spent and, you know, turn to Josie at the end of the day, here's what we saved using the Japan Rail Pass. So we probably got twice the value out of the $600. Which
and do you need to book the Rail Pass before you go?
You have to buy it before you go.
Right, so you get online and you buy it?
Yep, and you can actually, there's a site where you can get the cheapest fare going at the moment. So they don't vary all that much, it's only a few dollars either side, but you can get, you know, a cheaper one or the cheapest one. But and then you get a an exchange note, and when you get to Narita Airport, you just go to the JR office, and they give you the actual rail pass.
Oh, very good.
Oh, sounds very easy. Yeah. Okay. And of course, the quality of the service, the timeliness, the cleanliness, the efficiency.
Every trip is like a holiday within a holiday because it's so comfortable.
Yeah. Okay. That's I've got Japanese rail fans.
Do it's a, well, you know. There's a lot to be said for a public transport system that arrives on time.
Every 4 minutes.
With the passengers inside the vehicle.
And the platforms are marked so you know where to stand. You don't have to think about anything.
The clever people.
And they have the stations in English as well as Japanese, and that they announce on the train the next station in English as well as Japanese. So
very user-friendly.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. So have you used the Japan Rail system on previous trips, or was this the first time you really got the best out of it?
No, we've done it, particularly the last trip. We used the Japan Rail Pass as well. So we decided to get even more out of it this trip. My plan was to go every second day, but we didn't quite get there. But we came close every about third or fourth day.
Just jump on a Shinkansen and go somewhere where we hadn't been.
Wow.
Was the idea, yeah.
So describe the Shinkansen. What is that?
Well, it's the...
Is that the route? Is that the vessel?
It's the bullet train.
Okay.
And they seem to bring a new design out every year. The last time we were there, which was in 2011, they were bringing their green car out. We missed it by a day. And there'd been two upgrades since then. And they're just magnificent, you know.
So there's obviously a real ethos about investing in infrastructure.
You could say that. But we won't say any more about
that. Yeah, it's amazing how it helps people get from point A to point
B. Indeed.
Yeah, and you know, the Japanese language is... Do you speak the Japanese language?
Only very little. I learned it for about a year, and I learned how to read it as well. But because you don't keep using it all the time, you tend to lose it. But it's enough to get...
To get around. Yeah, because, I mean, and you do need to have those signs in English because it's quite impenetrable, the characters, if you... Don't read kanji
yeah,
or
that's right.
katakana.
But I was surprised how often Josie was able to interpret from the which language is it, kanji or
katakana,
slowly work out what it meant. It was.
Oh, did you say slowly?
We're going to find out how slow Josie is after a short break.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
So you've all got a fair set of gams on you, I guess, after cycling around Japan.
Well, it wasn't quite around Japan. We took a 70k bike ride, which was connecting six islands from Onomichi to Imabari, and we took that over 2 days.
Okay, so fitness, how'd you get ready for it? I mean, that's where I was leading to, segueing like crazy.
Segueing. We tend to cycle everywhere because we live in Richmond and there's no point in getting in a car.
It's all about 3-1-2-1. What? Represent.
We've got two cars and two boys, and mm-hmm. we have two bikes because the boys have the cars. And so we're used to riding everywhere. So
okay, so
really
you're a habitual cyclist, yeah. Which is fantastic. Good on you. Yeah. So did you have to do anything to get fit for Japan? Were there mountains involved? Or
well, there were...
Or did you just roll down them?
Josie did the work on researching this, and from her work on it, it sounded like this was going to be a gentle, magnificent little ride with lovely ancient bridges.
So you didn't have to take them with you?
Oh, no. Just easy rent. And plus, there were various places you could drop them off if you... well, it was great when we got to Onomichi and we went to the car park where we rented the bikes, which
So you didn't have to take them with you?
Oh, no. Just easy rent. And plus, there were various places you could drop them off if you petered out or whatever. Anyway, so we hired the bikes, caught the ferry to the first island because there wasn't a dedicated bike path on the first bridge. And then once we got there, we got to the first bridge and it was way up there. And we're thinking, oh.
Josie's pointing towards the stratosphere.
50 metres above ground level it was. Because they're suspension bridges.
Okay, so for those of us who are not so visual and being on radio, how high is 50 metres above? That's 5 stories? No.
It would 3 metres a story? 7 to 8 stories, I'd say. Yeah.
And so how did you get from ground level to the bridge?
Well, the Japanese have brilliantly worked out a dedicated bike path that spiraled around, so the gradient never actually got... so hard that you were going to die. It was
The Guggenheim.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was absolutely fantastic. So you just sort of circled around until you finally got up onto the bridge.
Like a bird of prey.
Yeah. And then there was a dedicated bike path on the bridge, which was absolutely fantastic. So you had no problems with cars, trucks, motorbikes or whatever.
Oh, wow. And how did you take your gear?
Oh, we just had a backpack.
Right. Because it was only we were staying away 2 days from the hotel room in Tokyo, so we just left everything there and just took a small pack.
Yeah, toothbrush.
Helen?
I just wanted to reassure people who aren't fit because my husband, whose idea of exercise is getting up and breathing, did the bike thing with us, and whilst he was some distance away, a little spot behind us, he managed it. At the end.
So he soldiered on. So anybody, this is accessible to people for all different fitness levels,
definitely,
all different age groups.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So cycling in Japan isn't something that you need to be one of those Lycra guys that gets out and...
No, there are a few of those on the road, but we were gentle and loved every second.
And taking your time.
And were there lots of other tourists doing the same kind of thing?
Well, not as many as I would have thought. Not too many
Japanese.
Non-Japanese.
Are the Japanese big cyclists?
There's some. The ones that were there were very keen on it. You know, the full Lycra gear and everything. But it just didn't seem the right time of the year for them to be that many tourists or Japanese out doing it. So we were very lucky.
And did you have any great meals on this 2-day trip?
Yes, we did, actually.
It's Japan.
Because that's why we're there. We're there to eat.
The thing about it was that, you know, the only decision we made was actually to do the bike ride, but we didn't plan anything else. So we didn't know whether we'd stay halfway or make the whole journey in one day, which you can do, but, you know,
but that's
we had a
Richard
bit of a task.
With us.
Yes. And so in the end of the first day, it's a long story to get to the rear can that we stayed in because we had no idea where to go and it was getting quite dark and we were very tired.
Oh, so had you booked the accommodation?
No,
you were just
so
going
to
wing it.
We had to find somewhere and we couldn't find anywhere. And I think we all had visions of actually sleeping under one of the suspension bridges for the night because it was very close to dark. Came upon, on the advice of a local, a rear can a few kilometres on. There was no English there.
Explain a rear can.
It's a traditional Japanese hotel.
Like a
with
European
the bathhouses and
tatami mats and all of that sort of thing. So we went in there and negotiated. I had to negotiate on the phone with someone that the woman there knew who had some English. So he was interpreting for me. And negotiating a price which turned out to be $75 a head for the night and the most amazing banquet that you have ever seen.
Oh,
we couldn't believe our luck.
Full Japanese banquet with all the different courses.
For dinner.
It was just amazing.
And a full breakfast in the morning. So we did quite well.
That's extraordinary. Mm, so you definitely recommend for people to... Yep. You know, not be so precious about having everything planned, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was the best part of the trip. It was such a surprise.
We had Bill had a very interesting incident in the traditional bathhouse where you go in and you strip down and then you scrub up and then you go and sit in the really hot water. And
the miso.
Yeah. So we went, Bill went in and the lady showed us around first and showed us, you know, boy, girl.
Yes, they are single sex, yes.
So Bill went, met a few other Japanese there and had a chat. Next morning, because it was really hard on the floor if you're not used to sleeping on the floor with the futon, and thought he'd go down and have another bath, and went in and...
Well, you know, you strip off in the anteroom and then you slide the door open and present yourself to the rather cavernous room in which there was a lady bathing who was not absolutely delighted to see me there, and she made it very plain...
Did she express herself?
Yes, quite forcefully, I would have thought. And
so the bathroom switch.
They switch simply because, you know, when this place was built, the men always had the fantastic bathroom and the women had something of lesser quality. And times have caught up, so no one bothered to tell us that they swap them over every day. So I didn't actually get
to... There wasn't any little signs on anything.
It's a good tip, though.
It's a useful one. But I ended up not bothering with the bath because I thought maybe there's someone in the other room who didn't know either. So
well, they do now. They heard those shrieks through those paper walls. You're at Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
We're talking about Japan and we've really
cycling.
Only just sort of, we've got into like a couple of days of pedal power and a terrific meal. Helen, you were saying there was a second meal that was memorable.
Most of the riding was along the coastline too, which was really, really lovely. And it's one day we came to this rather large place and it was just filled with baskets of seafood and all kinds of amazing things that we'd never seen before. And you could select your own and then sit at a table and cook it on a little Japanese sort of charcoal
hibachi
sort of thing with a large beer. It was absolutely splendid way to spend the day. Absolutely sumptuous. Yes.
And could you identify all of the items that were for sale?
No. I could identify all the things that I ate, but I couldn't identify some of the things that I didn't choose. That's right.
Have you done the Tsukiji fish markets on a previous trip in Tokyo, the big fish auctions?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
And we visited, what was the name of the Kanazawa, the fish market up there, was just incredible. And the displays of seafood, I've never seen anything like, and it just went on and on. You just wonder at the possibility of any fish lifting the sea.
Yeah.
You know, when you see so much, it was incredible.
See, what you may know, listeners, is Joe used to live in Japan and is a fluent Japanese speaker. So she has a very... big soft spot for Japan and a lot of experience in the country and a lot of love. When's the last time you were there?
Actually, it's about 10 years ago.
Is it that long?
It's one of those love-hate relationships. It's a long-distance relationship.
But you were also working with Japan and using your language for import-export business
as well. I did, for Australian exports, for perishable cut flowers and some beverages as well. Mm. But it's not about me today at all.
Mm. But so, it's all whole Japanese connection.
That was very interesting.
what were the other places that you discovered on this trip? Because, I mean, let's face it, from... Early this afternoon, you've ticked off the main places that people go to, Nara, Kyoto, Osaka, Tokyo. So on this trip, where else did you find that, you know, is just a must-see that people should, you know, get off the beaten track and find?
Well, the trip to Hakone was really lovely because that was right up in the mountains and you actually got to see, if you were lucky, Mount Fuji, and we were, on the train trip on the way up. And then we, when we were there, we did a tour on the Lake Ashi, which is a volcanic crater, and that was just absolutely beautiful as well.
That was a gasp.
We've got a new toy.
Oh, you can't hear. You don't have earphones on. Where are your earphones?
That's right. So the crater, was it? Did you do a tour on the actual lake with a guide, or how did you?
Well, they have these sort of gimmicky type leisure boat things, which have got a pirate's theme. I forget what the other theme of the other boat was, but yeah, you just went on them. It was meant to be a little bit more.
So it was like
fun.
Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Yeah, something like that.
And did you go back into Tokyo, or did you exit from another point?
No, we came from Tokyo and went back to Tokyo, yeah. But you stop at Hakone and then you get the bus up to the lake, and then we crossed over to the other side of the lake, then got a bus back down to Hakone and then train back to Tokyo.
Oh, right. And you would have booked all of this yourselves?
Yes.
Wow. And was that difficult to do the bus tours?
No, it all seems to flow really smoothly. It's absolutely amazing.
And most of them you can book in the JR offices, and right. Which is at Tokyo Shinjuku station, where we were very close by. So yeah, it's really easy.
Oh, that's great. And do you have any real favourite places now in Tokyo, seeing as you know have been a few times? Are there any sort of things that you think, oh, we're back, we must do this again?
The first night we stopped in at quite a simple little sushi train, and really it was just so fantastic and fresh and cheap. It was astonishingly cheap. And another night we spent down in the Yakitori area, down past the station. And that is a great place. You just have to go down there, and the aroma wafting off the restaurants there, where, you know, everything's just being barbecued before your very eyes, and just a wonderful place.
And the other places that you travelled to, did they have unique arts and craft,
yes,
or industries that had, you know, sustained these particular little villages?
Yeah. Well, Hakone in particular had, was it like wood products, and they were, I forget what the term is, but they're all melded together, all different woods, and making patterns and things like that. It was just beautiful stuff.
Sort of glued and pressed or something together, yeah, and right, then they make something out of the
that's
amalgam.
Right.
Yeah.
What kind of things were they making?
Oh, you name it, and they made it.
Right, so decorative items,
decorative
shoes,
items,
teeth.
Yeah, you know, kitchen wares and things like that.
Traditional or modern
traditional,
art?
Yep, mostly traditional, yeah.
Also, could you bring any of it back because
yes,
of our laws?
Yep.
Okay, so it's tricky.
It's totally processed.
Okay.
We brought a yo-yo back.
Goodness, and that's very retro. And what was the one thing you discovered on this trip that just blew you away?
I think that, for the scenery on the bike ride was just fantastic. Beautiful sort of forest and seascape as well. That was wonderful. I'd go back and do the cycling tour again. Absolutely.
Really? On the same
yes,
route?
Yep.
Wow. That's a big wrap.
And generally they were quite misty days, so it was like looking at a succession of Japanese prints all the way down. It was beautiful. The bridges themselves were astonishingly beautiful. They were constructed in 1999. And the last one of them is 4 kilometres long and is just amazing to travel across.
How were they constructed to make them so beautiful? Was it the artistry they used or the engineering methodology?
Engineering, yeah. Each one of them's different. One of them sort of looks like the San Francisco Bay Bridge. Another one's sort of similar to the... the Sydney Harbour, you know, that sort of suspension bridge. Okay. But they're all different and they're just magnificent. And the views down on the final one, it's above some fairly famous whirlpools in the inland sea.
Oh,
and
right.
It's just, you know, it's an experience, you know.
And clearly these bridges have all been made with the right ratio of concrete mix, unlike some of Tokyo's roads.
One has to assume so. Yes.
Why, what's with Tokyo's roads?
Oh, some of the bridges that were and flyovers that were built with the freeways are, you know, really deteriorating because...
Was this after the Second World War?
Yes, yeah.
Right,
the,
okay.
The ratio wasn't correct for sand to whatever helps make concrete.
Okay, well, they've learned that lesson. I'm sure they've improved
that. They weren't concrete.
Hmm.
Oh, one of the places that I absolutely love was the Ritsuin Garden, which was...
Now, just so everyone knows, we've got sisters here who are very similar looking and very similar sounding. So say your name so everyone knows who you...
So it's Helen.
Helen. This is Helen now.
Which is... I can't remember how big it was. It was several acres
was about
or something.
25 acres
of the most exquisite... kind of gardens, and all areas of it just sort of evolved and blended into different styles, and it was just so beautiful. And even though it was pouring with rain, it was even more magical somehow. So it was just the most glorious place.
And who had maintained the gardens? Were they something that were linked with a temple or
They're
a palace?
Very old, aren't they?
As in hundreds of years?
I'd say so, yeah.
So just gorgeous maple trees and...
Yes, oh, just absolutely everything from, you know, everything shaped to the raked gravel kind of thing and lakes and just expanses
Very
of green.
Very neat.
And, oh, just stunning. Absolutely beautiful.
Manicured.
Yeah.
Really it's beautiful. An extraordinary amount of attention to detail, isn't it?
Did that inspire you to make a trip to Bunnings as soon as you got home?
Absolutely not. But I have attacked my olive hedge, I have to say. I'm trying to turn it into clouds.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
We've got... Helen and
Josie
and
Bill,
who have been travelling through...
Three bears. Three bears. You can be Goldilocks.
And they're just right. And we're talking about travelling through Japan on cycle. What would you do next time that you didn't do this time? What did you learn that you haven't previously done?
Oh, that's a hard one. Still prefer to go to...
Do it all the same.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do it all the same because having discovered more places this time, I'd like to discover more places next time just through travelling on the train and...
Very organically and just going and go, hey, let's discover this. What's going on here? Fujiyama, let's have a look.
Yep.
And will Japan be your next destination or are you going...
We might take a break, a short break.
Take a short break? Yeah. What destinations appearing as likely?
Maybe Europe.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
That's a bit of scope.
Yep.
So. And they like their cycling in Europe.
Sure do.
Yeah. Any spots in particular that are on the list?
Oh, it'll be the traditional ones, I'd say. We spent very little time in Italy and France the first and only time we went. So I think we might do that again. But this time, the cycling option sounds like a really good thing.
Yes. Have you considered doing any of the walking options, like the sort of the slow walking tours through Europe?
No.
Right.
Walking's not my forte.
I see.
They can walk, I'll cycle. I'll just get there more quickly.
Well, that's been sorted out then. There goes my career as a travel agent.
Yeah, exactly. Your job is not secure.
No, not at all. Mm. And will you all travel again? Is that something you really like doing?
Oh, together. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
Now, are you twin sisters?
Yes.
Ah.
The purpose of the Japan trip was for let's call it a significant birthday, but I won't tell you what it was.
21st.
Oh, wow. How
close.
That's a good
close.
Guess. That's a good guess.
So travelling as sisters and sisters with husbands. So there's four of you who do this. So you organise everything together. Who does all the schlepping in that work and who does all the schlepping elsewhere? Do you divide it evenly? Everyone look at fend for yourself?
Oh, I think we're all holiday lifters. None of us are holiday leaners. So I think Richard and I...
Straight to the Liberal Party for you.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed our time together in the room and Helen and Josie enjoyed their time in the room and eventually we got together. It was fun.
And if you had unlimited money, where would you go?
Everywhere. On a really big bike. Mm.
We'd probably be able to afford to go around Australia then.
Yeah, it can be expensive in our own backyard, can't it?
So cycling, would you do all cycling tours, or is cycling just something that you did as a one-off in Japan because it was a good opportunity, or is this a real passion?
Oh, no, I'd certainly do some cycling again. Mm. It's a great way to get around, and you get to see a lot more detail doing the cycling as well, which I really liked. And got a really nice feel for the islands when we were riding around them, just seeing locals just, you know, doing what they were doing and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it was good.
So I don't think your European trip then is necessarily going to be the Tower of Pisa and Big Ben and things like that.
I've been there, done that.
Yeah, you're going to be looking for things a little bit more hard to acquire experiences.
The Adriatic coast, things like that.
Mm, sounds good.
Mm. And your tips for travelling, because obviously, you know, you must be very good at packing. Because it's one thing that fills most people with dread is packing for a trip. You know, you talk to them and you say, are you ready yet? Yeah, I haven't packed. So how did you guys pack for Japan?
Very minimally, because we wanted to buy heaps over there. So it was to just take the lightest, easiest to care for things was the plan.
Yep. And tips for the plane? Do you have a particular seat you like to sit in? Do you eat? Do you not eat?
It wasn't available.
Is that
1A? 1A is a bit like
pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, so Europe next. What about the States? Have you the States or South America?
Yeah,
Polynesia.
I'd go to the States. We've only done New York, but Bill's been a bit further.
Not much further, but I'll always go back. Superb. Yes. There.
New York seems to be the draw card for this show, doesn't it?
Yeah. Everyone's a New York fan.
There's lots of nodding going on in here.
Actually, I was talking to one of my solicitors yesterday.
One of your solicitors?
Well, we work for a lot of clients, so they all have their own solicitors. So anyway,
you have a posse of counsel.
Most of Collins and Burke Street are on the payroll at some stage. But they went to New York. This is their eighth time they've been to New York. They flew to get engaged, so it wasn't really a surprise. And they're going back, and that was in November. And in March, they're going back to get married there.
Oh,
talk about
gorgeous.
Fans.
So back to Japan just briefly. You obviously really love the food. Here in Melbourne, do you go for the Japanese option often, or do you save it for when you're actually on the ground?
Well, we're on the ground all too rarely, so we love eating in Japanese restaurants. Perhaps less so than we did, 30 years ago. Oops. But good Japanese food. We're big fans.
Yeah. Do you prepare any at home?
Yes.
Mm.
Tell us about that. What do you do, Helen?
Lots of stuff. The soups, salads, and mostly vegetarian foods.
Right.
Because I love that. Yeah.
Okay.
And seafood.
And of course, Helen is a very keen gardener.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
I am actually attempting to grow wasabi at the moment.
How's that working out?
Well, the dog ate the first round. But
so you're doing well.
Yes. The second round is now chicken cooped, but it's going well, yes.
Yeah, and is it difficult to grow?
It doesn't seem to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a form of horseradish, right?
It is, yes. Yes.
So into a pot?
Yes.
And then you just grate it over whatever you want?
That's, yes, correct.
Yeah. Very good with mashed pumpkin.
Yes.
There we go.
I'm so glad we've morphed into the cooking show again.
Exactly. You're on cravings at Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
What's everyone doing for Christmas? Helen?
Oh, it's just the family.
The family?
Yep. Mm.
Staying home?
Yep.
Yeah, 3121?
Oh, no, actually, it's up at Olinda. I don't know what the postcode is for there.
Right. Up in the hills.
Yes, at our other sister's.
Nice. So traditional family lunch.
Indeed. Yes, the only thing, it requires a designated driver, so that hasn't been sorted out yet.
No.
I see someone's going to have to draw a short straw.
That's right. It might be one of the sons, I think.
The one that got the free publicity.
Good idea.
Yeah, the penalty of youth. Mark, what have you got happening?
My parents live in Adelaide, so I'm flying there, flying in. I'm the FIFO, fly in and fly out. I'm assuming that's what the FO means.
Yes.
And coming back on the 27th, because we have a show here, Joe.
We do.
But I understand that you won't be in town.
Really? Where am I going to be?
No, you have visitors from out of town.
I do.
Something about...
I do. I've got family.
That's right,
I've
from Brisbane.
I've got family coming from Brisbane.
Mm.
Yep. So that they arrive next week, and I'm house-sitting two houses.
What?
I know. It's amazing.
Isn't that greedy?
I go from being a real nomad to having two homes, two dogs, one cat, and three cars.
Oh, sounds great. So what's the proximity of all these properties?
Well, obviously 3121 and 3122. So
Hawthorne.
Yes, so just slightly over the river, just to get the view.
It's all right.
And into the Hamptons and then back to, you know, Richmond.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, everything's so going to be all right.
It will be. I'll be making sure lots of dogs and cats are... well looked after.
And fed their Christmas anything but chocolates.
Correct.
So what are your big tips? So anyone going to Japan and never been to Japan before, what are your top tips?
If you're going longer than 7 days, definitely the Green Rail Pass.
Right. Mm. So it's rail. That's your big tip. Yep. Fantastic tip.
Yep. Yep.
And it's similar to rail. Get a hotel near a railway station.
Right, so really rely on the rail.
Yep. Probably Shinjuku or Shibuya, because they have all the transfers and crossovers and things like that, so it just makes it so much easier to get around.
So they're like a hub station.
Yeah, yeah.
What about technology-wise, phones and so forth? Did you take your smartphone and put in SIM cards? Did it all work?
Oh, no, we didn't do any of that.
Because their technology is fabulous. I mean, it's Japan.
Yeah.
Because it was these guys going, not the kids.
Yes, we were together.
They didn't have to check in.
We were together most of the time.
I'm going to tweet my salad. Okay, fair enough. Well, thank you very much for joining us today on Joy 94.9. Any you want to say goodbye in Japanese?
Sayonara.
That's very cute.
What she said. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.